you have a Mrs. Edwards in your life?
You know, really everybody should have raised their hand. Everybody, you know, he referred to a study of like, you know, 80% of people, you know, would go to church if they invited them. Actually, the study includes, really it was a study of non-believers. So they went, I think it was the Barna Group, they went and they spoke to non-believers. And they asked non-believers, why don't you go to church? And 80% said, because nobody invites me. You know, what that tells me is really we're not doing our job, or we could be doing our job even better. And so that's really what I want to talk about. As you know, I've given you an assignment, and the assignment is that we find the Mrs. Edwards around us, that between now and September, that we, you know, just invite people, that we be open to ask somebody to come to church. And you'll be surprised that people will come to church. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a place in which they're encouraged? Who wouldn't want to go into a place where they're loved? Who wouldn't want to go a place in which they're really a part of something bigger? And in this, in our case, not only something bigger than this church, but also locally and even globally, the influence that we have as a church. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? But, you know, I know that sometimes people think, well, this would be so difficult. It'd be so difficult. But here's what you got to understand, that if you want to be in the will of God, you're never more so in the will of God than when you're asking somebody to come. You see, God, you got to have the confidence and the understanding that God will be with you. You just need to begin and open your mouth, and you'll see He'll show up. That's what He does all the time. We're going to talk about that. I call those things divine appointments. Divine appointments. It's when God takes over your schedule and schedules your schedule. That's what He does. He wants to do that. And when it comes to divine appointments, there's a mixing of the natural and the supernatural. The natural is your part. The natural is the portion that you're going to do, and the supernatural is Him showing up. Him showing up. If you've never seen the mixture of that, you need to be able to invite people. You know, maybe you start small. Maybe you just take one of the cards that we have in our information booth that says, you know, that you invite people to church, and maybe you just give it to the barista and you know, and you peel out, right? I mean, I don't know. You might start small, or you might... Or you might even, you know, go to Wendy's or IHOP or, you know, what all the other BJ's or I don't know, all the places that people eat. And maybe you leave a good tip as well as the card. I don't know how you want to do it, but divine appointments. God wants to use you to do that. And so I'm going to make 4 points this morning on divine appointments out of Acts 8. Here's the first one. Divine appointments are often divine interruptions. Divine appointments are often divine interruptions. God's schedule is a little bit different than our schedule. Let's look at Acts 8:26. I'll put this in context. We're going to talk about Philip. As you know, if you've been here the last few weeks, the church, which was at that point centered in Jerusalem, the church had been going on for probably about 5 years now, but they hadn't really fulfilled what the Lord had asked them to do, and that's really to take the gospel to the whole world. So the Lord sends persecution, and what you have is the Greek-speaking Jews are the ones that get the brunt of that, and so they began to flee Jerusalem, but instead of like, yeah, run for your lives, as they went, they began to proclaim the gospel, which is awesome. That's the way it should be, because if persecution ever breaks out in our nation, and I believe it's coming, I believe, in fact, it's here. If you stand up for the name of Jesus, it costs you something in our culture, and I think it'll probably even get worse, but we'll pay that price. We'll pay that price for sure. And so the early church did. They went out, and as they went out, they proclaimed gospel. People got saved. The miraculous happened. People got healed. Great miracles. I mean, signs and wonders. It was an amazing thing. So much so that in Jerusalem, they sent a couple of the apostles to check it out, because Philip was not an apostle, and God was using him. Philip is just a regular guy like you are, you and I were, and yet God was using him to do some miraculous things. So he was in the zone. People are coming. Big groups are coming. Right? He's got his future scheduled. The revival is hit. But let's see what the Lord does in Acts 8:26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So now God's involved, because an angel doesn't just come and give a message without the Lord dispatching him. So the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he said this, "Arise and go." Okay, where, Lord? "Arise and go toward the south," that way, "along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. You know, I'm thinking, if you're Philip, you got to see this as a divine interruption. Things are going, things are flowing, right? You know, people are showing up, which is amazing. Which is amazing. Like I'm surprised when people show up here, especially during the summer. You know, or in LA when we pastored in LA, if it even sprinkled a little bit, nobody showed up to church. We're like, what? So we'd ask people, why? How come you didn't come to church last week? Oh man, it was raining. I'm like, yeah, you should live in Oregon. But sure enough, here it must have been an interruption. Philip was having so much success in Samaria, and yet this request to just go down south. And you and I, sometimes the Lord, I believe, speaks to us, and we say, Lord, I'm a little busy right now. Right? Lord, I know I'm in Fred Meyer. I got to pick up some milk, and I got to pick up some bread, and I got to get home before dinner. But we hear the Lord say, no, you need to talk to that person. And we say, Lord, but I'm busy. Or we're on our way somewhere. We're going through the drive-thru somewhere. Or we're checking out, and the Lord is speaking to us. And yet we're saying, Lord, I'm a little busy. Or maybe at work, we're working on a project, and the Lord is speaking to us. And we know it. Or maybe we're just doing business. Steve has told me stories like that. He's a broker, right? Mortgage broker. I guess that's your title. Finance guy. I know him. You wouldn't know him during the week. He's got suit and tie. Like, who is this guy? But that's what he does. And it's easy to say, well, I'm doing my job. But he'll tell you that when he hears the Spirit of the Lord saying, no, you need to minister. Yeah, you're doing your job, but you got to minister to this person. He'll do that very thing. And I think the Lord wants to speak to us. Sometimes we just say, Lord, I'm just tired. But no, Philip, I love that there was this divine interruption. The Lord said, you need to head south along this road. And this was a road that wasn't well traveled. I mean, I would think, why would I leave the city? Why would I leave fruitful ministry to go to the desert, to go to a road that is not very well traveled? It's this road that would take someone to Egypt. But the Lord, I tell you what, his plans are different than our plans. And in this case, he initiates things. You know, it reminds me of Abraham. When Abraham was really in what we would today say would be southern Iraq, and the Lord spoke to him, said, you know, you leave everything that's familiar to you. You leave your job, your career, your family, everything. You leave it all. You leave your countrymen. And come follow me, and I'm going to show you a place. See, for us, we're like, we'll leave everything, and it's that fuzzy. Is that fuzzy? You're gonna take me somewhere? And yeah, see, because we're people that walk by faith, not by sight. And we forget that sometimes, that we're saying, Lord, I want you to tell me the next 10 years, and then I'll decide whether I'm gonna follow you. And the Lord says, That's not the way it works. And you come and follow me. And sure enough, Philip did that. See, because often the Spirit won't reveal the next step until you carry out that step. That's why people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't hear the Lord. I don't hear the Lord. I haven't heard the Lord in a long time. You know, I've been doing this long enough. This is my next question to him. What was the last thing the Lord said to you? See, because often the Lord won't reveal anything new if you haven't done what he asked you to do in the first place. Why would he do that? Come on. Why would he do that? And so I say, you need to go and do what he asked you to do. And guess what? Then he's going to tell you the next step. It's like when we started East River, I was in LA when the Lord spoke to me about starting East River. And I didn't have a name or nothing. I had five opportunities, some amazing opportunities in L.A., and so I said, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do. And this is all the direction the Holy Spirit gave me initially. Do that which you have most passion for. Well, I thought I knew what it was because I had an opportunity. We had started, we were part of a group that started a satellite church, and I thought that was my passion. I mean, I love the people. There was already funding available. There was all that. I talked to the district supervisor about doing that. And yesterday I would have said, that's my passion. It's a go. But today when the Holy Spirit said, do that which you're passionate about, the thing that I was passionate about that day was this. To come up to Oregon, a place where I have no house, where I have no job, where I've got nothing. I've got nothing established at all to really start a church. And yet that's the one thing that the Holy Spirit was asking me to come. And that's all the detail that I had. Well, then what happened, it's interesting, what started happening is different people started saying, hey, you know, Lord spoke to me, and he wants me to take you to lunch, and he wants me to ask you what you have going next. I'm like, well, it's kind of interesting. So people take us to lunch. We tell them the Lord's calling us to go to Oregon and start this work. We're not sure what this work is. We think it's a church. And they said, okay. So they would pull out the checkbook. They would write a check. And they say, hey, whenever you get a name to this church, write it in and you can cash the check. So when we got into town, we already had funding to start East River. We just didn't have East River yet. And so we come into town, no house. So we had to move in with Pam's folks. Thank you, Lord. Right? I love your plan. Move in with the in-laws. Right? That's better than being homeless, I guess. A little bit. You know Pam's parents. You'll know they're actually outlaws, not in-law. No. Oh, man. You got to erase that from the tape. And those of you that know her parents, don't be telling them. Don't be starting anything. No, they're actually good people. They're amazing. They love Jesus. Amazing people. But here we come up here and we had to move in with them. We're like, this is, you know, really rock and roll. And then the Lord laid on our heart who our first worship leader would be. And you heard him last week, Glenn and Shannon Eastman. They were here. They're amazing. So the Lord told us, you know, Glenn's the guy we're supposed to approach. So we approached him, and Glenn is like, I'm done being a worship leader. I've been burned enough in church. I'm done being in ministry. I'm done. I mean, he had been burned. You know, it happens in ministry, not in this place, but in other places it does happen. And he's just like, I'm done. Never doing ministry again. I'm like, whoa, good plan, Lord. You sent me to the worship leader that says, I hate ministry. I'll never do it again. In fact, I hate Christians. I never want to see another one. Good plan, Lord. Yeah. This church is going to be amazing. It's going to be Pam and I. Yeah, it's going to be Pam and I. But you know what? I know this about the Lord. He has tools to heal the heart. That even though Glenn had been hurt, legitimately, he had been hurt along the way, that it was the Lord. The Lord, he's not making a mistake. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to work in his heart. And that's what he does. If you're here this morning and I tell you, well, you've been hurt in ministry or you've been hurt in the church, what you need to do is you go to Jesus. Right? I don't have any magic dust for you. I can't make it better, but he can. Right? He can give you that, you know, that breath of fresh air. He can tinker with what's broken. And that really, if you've had past hurts that even haunt you to today, you need to go to Jesus because he's the one that would heal. And that's what he did to Glenn. The Lord healed him up and said, Glenn, I'm calling you to do this. And this is going to be good for you. And it's going to be refreshing. And it was. And I tell you what, he got back on the horse and we did some amazing things together. And even now he's, you know, doing amazing things going globally. But a lot of times we want to figure out, we want God to be on our schedule. And church, that's putting God in the box. So you be open. Lord, I'm open to divine interruption. You interrupt me anytime and I will obey you. Here's the second thing about divine appointments. Divine appointments often involve unlikely prospects. See, if you're open to the Lord sending you to people, he's going to send you to people that you would never thought that he would send you to. He'll send you places that you would never dream that he would send you. We see this in verse 27 and 28. So Philip is told, you need to head south, right? Go down this road, not the most traveled road. It's a desert, but head down that way. So Philip, he arose and he went. And then you see the unfolding of God's plan. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. A eunuch is someone that had been castrated. That's a whole different sermon altogether. But he was a eunuch of great authority under Candace. Candace is really a title, like the Pharaoh or Caesar. Here he was, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. Now, the Ethiopia that they're talking about here is not the Ethiopia that we know today. In fact, it's a little bit further north. The Ethiopia, that area that they're talking about, is really northern Sudan, maybe southern Egypt, but for the most part, northern Sudan. And that's the area this eunuch was from. And he said, and he had charge of all her treasury. So we would say he's the minister of finance, right? He's in charge of that. Very powerful position. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he was there to worship over the Passover. See, a lot of times we read that in Scripture, and we miss the significance. Like, well, big deal. He came to Jerusalem. Well, it was anywhere from a 500 to probably a 750-mile trip to be there to worship. Right? So don't ever complain, oh, my gosh, I'm running late to church. Or, you know, it's 20 minutes to church. I ever complain. I mean, this guy, 500 to maybe 750 miles away, by dusty roads, to get to Jerusalem to worship. And then at this point, when Philip runs into him, he's returning back. He's returning back. And he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Well, several things come to me when I read the scripture. This guy obviously is a passionate worshiper of Yahweh. It's like, well, wait a minute. How did he hear of Yahweh? He's, you know, from the area of the Sudan. Isn't Yahweh the God of Israel? Isn't Yahweh just, you know, worshipped in Israel? In Jerusalem? Isn't that his city? Well, how is this guy who's a eunuch who is all the way from that distance, northern Africa, how does he know of Yahweh? Well, you can write this down and read it tonight. 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10 really talks about the reign of Solomon. Solomon, the son of David, was really recognized as the wisest man on the planet. He was wise because God made him wise, gave him great wisdom, and also gave him great riches. So he was known as not only the wisest man on the planet, but really the wealthiest man of the planet at that time. And so in 1 Kings 10, you see other kings from other places of the world making the journey to check out his kingdom. And there was this Queen of Sheba, also from northern Africa. Queen of Sheba comes to Jerusalem to check it out. And so she spends time there. And when she leaves, she says, you know, not only was everything that was said about you, King Solomon, correct, but actually it was understated. You're wiser than we even were told. You're wealthier than we were even told. And so it was really the Queen of Sheba, I believe, that took the revelation and the knowledge of Yahweh down into that area. And so here, later, you have this eunuch understanding who Yahweh was. And yet, why is he an unlikely prospect? Why is he an unlikely prospect? Because you got to understand the way men think. He's an unlikely prospect because he was a foreigner. We're always suspicious of foreigners. Anybody that's different than us, we're just suspicious. It's just human nature. And sure enough, he's a foreigner. He's a stranger, right? Even since we're kids, we're told, don't talk to strangers. Because they'll tie you up, they'll kidnap you, and then they'll eat you for dinner. I mean, and so we grow up as adults afraid of strangers, right? And yet, we gotta not be afraid of strangers, church, because God will send us to strangers. And then also, I think that because he was dark-skinned. See, we often think, well, wait a minute, racism is like something that we just do today. No, racism has been a problem as long as man's been around. Racism has always been a problem. And I believe that this eunuch was dark-skinned, so right away that would have also been a reason to you know, hey, I don't know, Lord, I don't know if this is the guy. You know, I remember when we first would come up to Oregon, this was the early 80s. I was working juvenile probation at the time in California. And so our parents' folks lived up here, so we'd come up and we'd visit. And Oregon and Washington County was a different place back then, a little bit more different than today. So I'd come up from California, and this would just totally like kind of mess with me. I'd go in different stores, and I'd have security follow me around the stores. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, oftentimes I'm like, I need to pull out my badge and just tell them who I am. I'm not here to rob the store. I was educated. I even have a degree. You know, I mean, I'm like, why are they following me? I know why they were following me, because I look different, because I'm a stranger, because I'm, you know, all those kind of things, right? I believe it's a little bit different now, but not so much more. Unlikely prospects. So even though thousands were receiving the Lord, most likely through the ministry of Philip, the Lord interrupts him and tells him to go minister to this one individual. See, to me, that's good news. Because I mean, that tells me God is concerned with even the one. See, because a lot of times you and I were like, God, I know you're concerned with East River, but Lord, it's just me. The Lord says, oh yeah, I'm concerned with just you. That's what he does. That's amazing. Unlikely prospects. See, in that video of Mrs. Edwards, I mean, that's unlikely. It's like see, it's a turn. You know, when I first saw it, I had some preconceived notions. You know, first I'm thinking, you know, where, who do you, it throws you right away. You're thinking that it's you know, it's the brother who's, you know, doom booming, right? It's the old lady, right? Mrs. Edwards. That it throws you. And at first you're thinking, well, he's their harasser. No, he's there to invite her to church. Amen. Just the unlikely prospects. See, a lot of times we have these preconceived notions. I'm gonna give you two. How many of you heard of David Wilkerson? He's a longtime pastor, and he's with Jesus now. You feel free to Google David Wilkerson. He Lord The Cross and the Switchblade was a book that he wrote about this experience. But David Wilkerson, if you see what he looked like back when he started his ministry in the early 60s, I mean, he was a nerd, right? He was a nerd. And you know, so I'm thinking, if he's a nerd, I think he should do the nerd ministry in the church, right? He should be the one that we're going to send out. Hey, you know, David Wilkerson, we've got this great ministry for you. You're going to go and reach the nerds for us, right? But that's not the way God works. See, David Wilkerson was watching television. He had just graduated out of Bible college, and he saw this news account of these seven gang members that were arrested in New York City for various crimes, and they were in trial. And something about the Spirit of God in him stirred him up. And he says, you know what? I need to go to New York City and reach these young guys. I mean, hardened gang members, right? And so, sure enough, he goes. He shows up to the courthouse and he tells the judge, I'm here to, you know, minister to these, you know, and they threw him out. You know, like, get out of here, you freako, right? But he wouldn't be deterred. He knew that God was sending them to these gang members. And sure enough, the story of the Cross of the Switchblade is about him reaching these gang members. See, I wouldn't have written the story. I would have had an ex-gang member, right? Going to reach ex-gang members. But Lord says, that's too easy. I'm going to send the nerd to reach the gang members because then I get the glory. See? Now it explains why I'm up here, right? Now it explains why he sent me. He's like, whoa, surely they're going to see him and think, oh my gosh, it must be God, right? It must be God. But he was open. Philip was open. Lord, send me to whomever. And sure enough, he sends him to an unlikely prospect. You know, 3 weeks ago, there was an old lady, and she's not here, so I can call her old. There was an old lady here in the front about 3 weeks ago. And so during the break, she came up to me and she said, hey, I just want you to know that one of your young people was on the max and invited me to come to church. So I came to church because one of your young people, you know, see, that's the way it should work. Because you're thinking a young person is more inclined to invite what? Another young person. But not at this church, because we're teaching them, hey, be open, invite whoever. And yet he invites this lady, you know, this old lady, and I'm glad that she took him up upon that and showed up to church. That's the way it works. Here's the third thing about divine appointments. Not only are divine appointments oftentimes divine interruptions, not only are divine appointments usually involving unlikely prospects, but divine appointments always involve perfect timing. Maybe it's not our perfect timing, but it's God's perfect timing. He's always going to show up, and we're going to look at this in verse 29. So sure enough, the angel tells Philip, head south. So he heads south, and you got to understand what's happening. Philip is going down this one highway that will take people to Egypt and also into northern Africa, and the eunuch is coming out of Jerusalem out of another road, and that road intersects, right? God's timing is always perfect. So verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake that chariot, right? See that chariot? That's the assignment. Oh, okay, Lord, now I see it. He didn't know that at the beginning, but often we want the whole picture. He's not going to give you the whole picture, but he'll just tell you what you need, and you need to obey. So he says, go near and overtake that chariot. So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And that day, oftentimes, they would read out loud. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, so Philip says to this guy, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? It's perfect timing, right? He's reading the book of Isaiah. In fact, he's reading Isaiah 53, which really talks of Messiah. Well, Philip knows about Messiah. Perfect. See, God is going to send you to the perfect person, perfect timing. And sometimes we're afraid, well, what if I just, mess it up. No. God knows who to send you to. You just got to be open. And so he's reading Isaiah 53, which talks about Messiah, and he wants to know who's this talking about. Is it talking about Isaiah, or is it talking about somebody else? And he said, no, it's talking about Messiah, and let me tell you about Messiah. So he explains to him the scriptures. But I'm thinking, Isaiah is a perfect book for a eunuch to read. Because in Isaiah 56, it talks about this. It talks about Messiah and the difference that Messiah is going to make. And the difference that Messiah is going to make, it talks that even a foreigner will be part of what Messiah brings. Even a foreigner will really be part of covenant. It mentions a eunuch. Even a eunuch will be part of what Messiah brings. See, because as a eunuch, even though he traveled 500 or 750 miles, he couldn't go into the temple because he was a eunuch. And so eunuchs were forbidden to go into the temple. But under Messiah, under the new covenant, he's no longer excluded. See, sometimes we think we're still excluded. We say, well, Pastor, I did this in my past. Right? I made this stupid choice in my past. You need to understand today, you're not excluded. Right? Oh, Pastor, if you knew what, it doesn't matter. You're not excluded. And that's the message of this portion of Scripture that we're covering. This eunuch, he had a lot of stuff going for him, but still he couldn't go into the temple. But he was wealthy. It's like, well, how do you know he's wealthy? Well, he's driving a chariot, right? But also he's got his own personal copy of the scriptures. That set him back a few bucks, right? And yet he felt excluded. You can have all the money you want and still feel excluded. You've heard me say, I met a guy who lived in a $24 million plus home. And we're talking to him. Every time we talk, he'd sneak away. And he'd come back higher than a kite. He's sneaking away doing lines of cocaine. In the physical realm, he had everything. I mean, this guy was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And yet he was an addict. So I said, Lord, why this guy? Why the eunuch? Why him? You know what I think? I think that how the Lord used the Queen of Sheba, he's using the eunuch the same way. That he says, if I reach this eunuch, he is now going to take the knowledge of Messiah into northern Africa. In fact, early church history says that this eunuch ended up baptizing the queen. That's the way the Lord... You see, we think, well, my Lord, man, it's just this person. It's just Chase. Right? It's just Chase. He's an 18-year-old high school kid. Right? Not anymore. Amen. Not anymore. You're exactly right. Not anymore. When God gets a hold of somebody, it's not anymore. Anything is possible. So we need to, I think, have our vision expanded that the one that the Lord sends us to, the Lord has greater plans than we even know. Amen? Amen. Thank you. I got one. I'll take it. A perfect example for our church is Nikki Smith. We sent Nikki off to New Zealand, a month ago maybe? And Nikki Smith, she is in a town in New Zealand called Kaikoura. And you're probably wondering, Kaikoura, it's a town of 5,000 people. What can God possibly do in Kaikoura? He can reach the world, and this is God's plan. So the Lord sends Nikki to Kaikoura, because in Kaikoura, young people from all over the world fly into Kaikoura to backpack. Right? If the Lord sent me to Kaikoura, I'm like, backpacking? I don't backpack. Oh, wow, Nikki backpacks. Perfect person to send. So the Lord sends Nikki to Kaikoura, and the rest of the world shows up there. In fact, she just did her first year there last year, and this is what she found out, that a lot of the Jews, young Jewish men and women, go to Kaikoura, because what happens is this, that when they graduate from university, their parents will usually give them money for them to travel, because when they come back a year later, then they have to serve in the military. So a lot of those young people, Jewish young people, they go to Kaikoura. And so Nikki, the Lord gave her this plan to get a big old house and begin a hostel. A hostel is like a cheap motel, right? But in most hostels, if you go throughout Europe, you're gonna pay for them. But the Lord said, no, this hostel don't even charge. So that the word gets out and people are gonna just show up, and sure enough, they show up in the front door. Hey, I hear we can crash out here. Yeah, come on in. And she feeds them and takes care of them and presents the gospel. She even leads some backpacking trips also. And guess what? She maintains relationships. When the Jewish young people first showed up, they said to her, you know, we've heard all kinds of stuff about the Bible. Could you tell us about the Bible? Let me think about it for a little bit. Yes. Yes. Right? And the first thing she says, you know, first thing you need to know is Jesus, whom we serve, was a Jew. That blows them away. Because they hear all kinds of crazy stuff about him. And ultimately, they're like, why do you love us? The rest of the world hates us. Why do you love us? It's because the love of God is in me, right? And we're commanded to love. That's the way it works. God's perfect timing. Here's the fourth one. And this is where sometimes it stretches us. Divine appointments may involve you closing the deal. It's a sales term, closing the deal. But I think it applies here. And so we need to know how to close the deal because we may have to do it. Acts 30, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Acts 8, verse 30, the latter portion. So Philip asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, and this is what a lot of people around us say, how can I unless someone guides me? Right? We're not born with this revelation. I'm always grateful to the Lord that I have a revelation of him because very few people have a revelation of him. I was once there. I was an idiot. I thought the world revolved around me. I can't believe it doesn't, right? You were there, didn't? I mean, the world, I thought it's about me. It's what I can go get for myself. That's what I thought the world was about. And then I received the revelation of him, and it changed my world. So he says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and to sit with him. So he invites him into his chariot. We'll skip to verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and he began at this scripture, talking about Isaiah, and he preached Jesus to him. So he put in context, helped him explain it. And he explains to him even more than that. How do I know? Look what happens next. And understand God's perfect timing. They're in the desert, right? They're in the desert. Is there a lot of water in the desert? No. But God's timing is perfect. So he's explaining them the scriptures and then more. Verse 36, now they went down the road and they came to some water. And as the eunuch and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? How do you know about baptism? He had explained it to him that when we give our life to Jesus, we have to identify with him in baptism. We go public with our faith. And so he says, here's some water. He says, what hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop, to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized him. See, a lot of people don't believe around us because no one has told them. No one has explained that. You know, the Lord, the first person that he sent to me to present the gospel to me was this Pentecostal Catholic. I didn't even know they existed. A Pentecostal Catholic. So you're looking like, what? They exist? Yeah. Go to the Portland Zoo, you'll see them there, right? No, they do exist. They do exist. And so this little Pentecostal Catholic began to present the gospel to me. Just freaked the heck out of me. Freaked me out. And so many people around us don't believe because no one has told them. And so this Ethiopian, because Philip told him he believed, he was baptized. And if you read on further, it says he went on and rejoiced. Turn with me to Romans 10, verse 14. You circle this because this applies to us. This applies to the Mrs. Edwards all around us. It says, but how can they call on him to save them? Because those that call upon the Lord will be saved, right? But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? If you want to understand this verse, read it backwards. So he's saying this. First, you got to tell them, right? If you tell them, then they'll hear. If they hear, then they'll believe. If they believe, then they'll call out to him. If they call out to him, then they'll be saved. It's the way it works. It's the way it worked with me, right? But it starts with us going, with us telling them. That's where it starts. And church, we need to be prepared for that. You're saying, well, Pastor, I don't know how to share my testimony. I don't know how to share the gospel. We'd be glad to teach you that. That's what our discipleship program. If you take OSL 1, level 1, which starts in September, we will teach you that. That when the moment comes, you will be prepared to present your testimony. This is who I was before Jesus. This is how I met Jesus. And this is the difference that he's made in my life. It's that simple. But to know the scriptures, we'll be glad to teach you. See, in the Great Commission, when Jesus assigned the church to go out and make disciples of the whole world, he didn't say, you're on your own. Instead, he said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'll resource you. I'll give you everything that you need. I'll be there. With Philip, I mean, it began with an angel. And maybe the Lord would send an angel, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to send an angel. He's given us that assignment. And so we carry it out. But, you know, as you read through the book of Acts, you understand that there's all so much supernatural stuff going on, right? I know there's people in our church that, like Gary, likes to go, and Lourdes likes to go door to door and just share the gospel with people. And, you know, some of us were like, whoa, that is just way out of my comfort zone. But here's what they know, that wherever they go, the Lord has already been there. That wherever they go, their angels have already been there, ministering angels. They understand that the supernatural is involved in the natural. No one gets saved because of us, but we're involved in getting them to that place. And so we see that. And in revival history, same thing. The Holy Spirit, man, just getting a hold of people like he did with David Wilkerson. Right? Go to reach gang members in New York City. Man. Tell you what, I love that kind of stuff. See, because most believers, man, they're in the lake, you know, they're in the little boat, the sail, and there's no wind. So I'm, as your pastor, I'm praying, Lord, would you breathe upon people that they're getting somewhere now. That when we get on the mats, we're like, man, who can I target today? That when we get to work, who can I target today? That we go through our day. Who can I target today? Lord, I'm available. Use me. And you know, as I pray it, as our leaders pray about East River, I think we're in a window of great grace right now, church. There's something stirring in the spiritual realm. There's grace for evangelism in our church right now, and even grace for missions. God is wanting to do stuff, but he needs people that say, Lord, use me. Lord, send me. I'll be glad to do that. And if you agree to that, God will give you divine appointments. So here's what I want you to do, and it's kind of a little unorthodox, but get your phone out. Get your iPhone out, your Samsung, your whatever you got. Get your phone and turn to the calendar section. Go ahead and turn to the calendar section. Pick a date, any date, right? But this is just, and type in there, available for divine appointments. I want you to put on there, you're saying, Lord, my schedule is available for divine appointments. I need to have it up there, right? Available for divine appointments or divine interruptions. That's even better. Lord, you're free to interrupt me any day, any time to be used of you. And I'm no prophet, but this is what I'm going to tell you. God will use you. If you're serious about that, if you're saying, Lord, interrupt me anytime. He'll begin to interrupt you because you've given him permission to do that. It's going to get exciting around here, amen? It's going to be exciting around here. Everybody up, let's worship the Lord.